Okay, thanks everyone. Right, it is 10:03. Let's get this party started, which means that the Arizona Board for Private Postsecondary Finance Committee meeting on December 7th will commence. Notice pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notice is hereby given to the general public and to members of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education that the board will hold a finance committee meeting open to the public on the date and time indicated above. The meeting will be held digitally online. The full meeting agenda and list of applications to be considered can be found at www.ppsc.az.gov. Pursuant to 38-431.02, oh, I said that already. The board reserves the right to change the order of items on the agenda, except for those matters set for a specific time. The formal hearings and formal interviews are scheduled to be heard during specific time blocks. The board chairperson, however, reserves the right to call cases in random order. I would say if we ever have a meeting on April 1st, we will do like a totally random order. Americans with Disabilities Act. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter or a copy of this document in alternative format by contacting the executive director himself, Mr. Kevin LaMountain, at 602-542-5716 or the TDD number at 800-367-8939. And that is the call to order. And let's see. Next up is review, discussion, and possible action on acceptance of finance committee meeting minutes. Mr. LaMountain.
Okay, so do we have the minutes have been posted, have been out there, so I can confirm that it is audible and available.
Good. So do we vote or we don't vote?
You do vote.
All right, so I make a motion to approve the minutes. Mr. Ball, it's going to be you and me all day.
I second it.
Okay. Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Two ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Great. Now, a news flash, in case anyone was wondering, and if perchance people were not at the Capitol yesterday, I don't know where else you were, Joint Committee, Higher Education or Education Committee in the State Legislature met yesterday. And Mr. LaMountain, you want to say what the outcome was?
Certainly, Dr. Mittman. So I'm pleased to say that as a result of all the hard work for from our board members and from the staff members, we received a recommendation to continue the board for an additional 10 years. Before we would come back up. So that is the best response, the best possible outcome we could have asked for. So again, I want to thank Dr. Mittman, Mr. Ball, and all of the board members, and certainly all the staff members that work with the board to put us into a position where we could get a full 10-year approval. So thank
Great.
You.
Yeah, well, thanks. And thank you. I'll echo your sentiments with respect to the staff. You know, the board meets, but I would say that, you know, our work probably comprises, I'm sure it comprises less than 5% or 3% or maybe 1% of what the staff actually does on a day-to-day basis. And so congratulations and very well deserved. Okay. Ooh, we have virtual meeting information. So please remain mute until called upon. We sometimes get an echo. Closed caption options, select turn on captions at the bottom of the screen, and the meeting is being recorded, both audio and video, as you know, so that we can have minutes. All right, so first up, we have Accord Healthcare, and we have two people here representing Accord. Do you guys want to make an opening statement?
Good morning. So we are here, Daniela and Guillermo, representing Accord Healthcare. And being, first of all, thank you so much for the reminder of the Pearl Harbor attack and everything that that represents to our country. And putting us as educators to one of the organizations that are trying to do our best for or to better our country and the world. Basically, it's that. We are here for this year, and we hope everyone, before we leave for everything, I don't think we will have the opportunity to do that before we leave, but wishing everyone a good holidays. We know that the times that we are living on right now are not many times the best times in the world to actually go in and have the meaningful you know, holidays that we expected, but it is what it is. So I don't know if you want to do any remarks.
Oh, not too much.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Mittman, you're on mute.
So if it's just for the report part, we have made some progress in some of the grants that we were talking about last time that we were here. They actually were finalized. We are actually starting with 50 new students this year. We're already starting enrolling some of them. So we're actually expecting to have a much better outcome, just primarily because one of them, it is we're having about 50 new students for the
for all the programs.
For all, yeah, for all the programs. Some of them might actually take more than one. So that is a significant, better start than we have had in quite a while.
Yeah. So just to complement that information that Guillermo is sharing, we apply in partnership with the Jewish Family and Children's Services. We know that they dedicate their services towards foster kids, but this program is open to all youth for 18 to 24 years old to engage in some of the healthcare programs that we have. And so we are partners with them. The grant was approved last month, by the end of November, actually, and we started already working with them. Yesterday, we had a meeting in person, and today we are going 12:30. We're doing a career fair at one of the a West Phoenix high school, and with the possibility of recruiting. This program specifically does not require that the student finalizes already with the high school or GED program. So it is something that the student can actually do the healthcare programs together as they finalize. So it's dedicated to seniors. Dedicated to students that are in the process of achieving their high school diploma. Also, for those that don't have the age appropriately to attend high school, Jewish Family and Children's Services has a grant that qualifies them to tutor and paying for the exams for those that need GED. So it is the initial number of students that we are trying to reach is 50. Which is a good number of students to start with. We already have four of those enrolled starting January 8th, which is when our cohort starts in 2024.
Just to add one thing, also the ones that are still in high school, of course, they will only be taking the CNA program of ours because that one doesn't require high school. For the ones that want to take the phlebotomy program or anything like that, of course,
will need to have the completion of the high school. Exactly.
And then also revamp our marketing strategies. We have seen that influx a little bit more.
Hold on one sec. Sorry to cut you guys off. So just for the sake of the specific expertise of this committee, and also just in the interest of time, just because we have a big agenda, could you focus any comments that you have? Otherwise, I'll start asking questions on your financials, since it is the finance committee. Any updates or anything that you care to share?
So we're finishing because of a grant that we got earlier, the earlier half of this year. We actually should be finishing right around the black. And that should continue primarily because of, again, we have been able to increase our revenue with these different students that we're getting. So
I see on your income statement, your P&L statement, total income through September of $103,529. Expenses at $129,000. So far a loss of $26,000. So did the grant come in subsequent to September 30th?
It came in June, yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see it there. So then I'm going to jump over to your balance sheet, and I kind of don't understand it. Mr. Ball, feel free, since you're an accountant, you can jump in and help out also. So at the end of last fiscal year, December 31st, 22, you had total current assets of $752,000. You had $340,000 in cash. You had accounts receivable of $417,000. As of September 30th, your cash, according to the document you submitted, is a negative $6,764. I'm not sure how that happens. You've got...
That might be a mistake there.
So you've got a bunch of negative balances there. It shows that your total current assets are $206,000, and your liabilities, your current liabilities, have gone up to $906,000. And so that would make you rather upside down in terms of your ability to pay. One of the liabilities that stood out to me, let's see if I can find it here, payroll liabilities for $316,000. So is that a timing issue, or in your payroll?
I would have to look at that a little bit more, but that seems like that's an error.
Which one is an error? And then,
the cash shouldn't have dropped to that amount.
Are you looking at your balance sheet?
No,
not currently. No.
Okay. Who's your person in charge of, like, you know, finance? I don't know if you have like a specific finance person, or do you have a bookkeeper or an accountant? Or
that would be I'm the one that kind of inputs the information in there. But as far as that I did not catch. So that might be something that was.
Yeah, because we don't have the 906 liability, and we cannot go from 700,000 to 260 in assets. So we didn't.
I'm not 100% sure with that one. I would have to double check on
that. How about from a liability standpoint? You have SBAD, Trej, and then a long sequence of numbers with a liability of $472,543.
That is the Small Business Administration that we got through the pandemic. And we are paying that. We're currently paying that over the next 30 years. So that is correct.
Okay. So how much do you owe this year on it?
On the SBA loan?
Or total?
Yeah.
We are, so almost the whole thing, because we are making payments on $2,342 a month.
Okay. So $2,342. So that's roughly $25,000.
Correct. A year. Right.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say, and just to cut to the chase. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'll just read from my notes. Losses last 2 years. Balance sheet is a mess. Best to pull up for reference. So you need to get either... Mr. Lopez, either you need to get, you know, pay more attention to this, or, I don't know. Do you have, do you have either bookkeeping help, or do you have like a contract with?
That's what we're actually in the process of doing.
No, we have. We work with Georgia.
No, but for the bookkeeping.
For
the bookkeeping, yes. That is something like the problem with the bookkeeping is also the fact that we kind of do it part time. It is me and another person that does it. So sometimes when she inputs something or something else, we have noticed that sometimes we make mistakes with that. So we wanted to put somebody in charge of that that is actually, you know, that does her job primarily. Again, I do marketing. I oversee the programs, all of that. So I do a few other things. So.
Yeah, I'm not questioning your expertise. I'm not an accountant.
We are trying to clear those out. And what we've been trying to do is maybe removing some of the old stuff that we have there. And maybe a mistake was made in that. So
there's at least like 8 mistakes in the balance sheet. And so, and please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not trying to be, hypercritical, but, it's like if, for example, do you have bank loans, right? Because I see a bunch of BBVA.
No, those are not.
They're not what?
Those are accounts. Those are not loans.
Right, but under current liabilities, you have BBVA number 679, blah, 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 for $20,000. Then you have another BBVA for $25,000. You have another BBVA, small business PPP, for $80,000. If you have to speak to your bank, it's one thing to talk to us, because we can't call any loans. But I could tell you that our bankers would just wouldn't be good. So I'm gonna you guys are gonna continue quarterly reporting, right? I'm gonna make a motion. Mr. Ball, do you have any other questions or comments, or do you want to pile on?
Yeah, that's about what I would be doing. So the PPP loan, for example, that should have been forgiven quite a while ago.
Right.
So there's a lot of cleaning up in the financial statements that need to be done so that this committee can make a good decision.
Okay.
I would go ahead and recommend that you stay on quarterly reporting. At least that's my feel.
Okay. So, and why don't we do this? I'm fine approving the regular to non-accredited vocational and degree granting license and continue quarterly reporting. So that'll be the motion. Mr. Ball, you second that?
I'll second it.
Okay. And so, I don't know, Mr. Mountain, could we revoke it if we... Oh, Mr. Wallace is here. So now we have like 2 accounts.
Yes, I'm here.
So we were just going over Accord's financial statements, and so Mr. Lopez, Ms. Bumini, you guys have to get, I don't know, like an accountant or bookkeeper or somebody to clean this up before the next time we see you guys. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and it's material. And it would probably affect a lot of a lot of outcomes beyond what we're talking about today. All right. I don't know, Mr. Wallace, is there anything that you wanted to add?
No, I don't have anything else to add. I agree. We've hit this pretty hard.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Lamont, you want to call? We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye by the vote of 3 ayes, no nays. That motion passes. And Dr. Mittman, I think you were going to ask the question, can we revoke it? And the answer is no. But keeping in mind when the institution comes back before the finance committee, there is a opportunity to adjust a bond. Right now, their bond is at $15,000. You could increase the bond to their GTR, which is $220,000. So you could increase it to about $22,000 or more if you chose to do that. And then any other options that the finance committee chooses to impose upon the institution.
Okay. Well, Ms. Bulmini and Mr. Lopez, we're not going to have to, right? We're not going to have that.
Conversation.
Okay, good. I hope not. You know, it's not, I'm not an accountant. And so, you know, I can, you know, I'm sure that you guys could figure this out. Okay.
Yeah, we're in the process of that. And we were actually transitioning.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, be well, have a happy holiday season, and hope your new year gets off to a good start.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Next up, Inspection Go. It kind of reminds me of like the name of a movie. Wasn't there like, it was like an inspector.
I think that's Inspector Gadget.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, either way, it's a good name.
Good.
All right, so we have a bunch of people here. So who wants to get us started? You guys have an opening statement you want to make?
Yeah, I believe Will is going to make our opening statement. Yeah. Go for it.
Sure. Thank you. I was on the last time on the call. Will Russell. I'm a CPA, one of the original founders of the business, and I know we've struggled, obviously, in the past with providing good information that, you know, you guys could rely on, and also just the losses that the company experienced. So kind of jumped in to help with that, and can talk to that here for a second. So, you know, at the last meeting, we were asked to, you know, engage a independent CPA to get, you know, reviewed or compiled financial statements. So, you know, since then we did do that, which hopefully you'll have a copy of the 2022 report from the accountant. So, you know, that definitely a heavy lift between now and then, but that we did, we were able to get that completed. And here in January, shortly after, we'll be working on 2023. And, you know, one thing I'll note, I know, in the past, we've struggled to maybe explain the company because we're not a typical school. You know, I did talk about it a little bit last time, but Inspection Go is a company for the home inspection industry that we are. We have kind of business consulting, call center, you know, the academy portion of it to train home inspectors. You know, and also the major piece of that is developing a software product. So in developing that software product is why we're experiencing the substantial losses as we're developing and the overhead to support that, which we're right now, we've actually had some really good success in the last month as we've launched that and started to run transactions through it to where the revenue is starting to trickle in here now. And by March, April, May, a little bit of a floating target, but we are expecting to be very close to profitability, which is going to be big for us after, you know, several years of investing in investors. So, and just to speak to the financial stability, obviously there's not a lot of cash on the balance sheet at the end of September. However, in April of this year, we did convert all of our outstanding other than one major investor into equity in a Series A capital raise. And that investor is committed to making sure Inspection Go is funded to see the product be successful, because that's obviously what they're in it for. So in October of this year, they also committed an additional $2.5 million line of credit to bridge the gap to get the profitability. But you know, some of those details are in those financials, but, you know, hopefully, you know, see, we definitely made a big effort here to try to get things cleaned up and obviously continue that in the future here to give you guys better information to, see where we're at and understand the business.
Okay. Asha, you're enthusiastically nodding. Do you have something that you want to add, or you just agree with Will?
Yeah, I agree with Will. I'm proud of this finance team for getting this done, Paul.
Okay, good. All right, anything else from you guys? Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball, do you guys have any questions?
I just had a quick question. I'm just looking at your balance sheet. comparing July through September 22 versus 23, the numbers are exactly the same. So I would take it that September of 23 has not been updated.
It looks like, I wonder if I'm looking at the same report. So when I'm looking at, I see a report that has July 23 through September 23, and then also January 23 through September of 23, but not, make sure I.
Yeah, I saw, Mr. Ball, I did find September 23 financials. The ones that I saw that, and I think Will was referring to this, that cash dropped from $812,000 and change to $19,000. Is that right, Will?
Correct.
That's what I'm looking at. Okay. And I think, you know, same thing, current liabilities dropped. And so this is all because of the software development, is what you're saying.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, the investment in that. And in when we were developing the software, those costs would be capitalized, but now that we're actually utilizing the software, we're expensing it. So that's the major driver of the losses and why the investment.
How many years over how many years are you expensing it?
It's capitalized and then, depreciated over, which I would have to look to see how many years, I can look off the top of my
like
head.
It looks like you're taking the whole hit on your income statement.
In the past. So if I look at our depreciation, amortization. I want to say it might even be 15 years. I know it's being amortized over a longer period of time, the initial software development. 100% of the cost in, I know, 23 and partial of 22 would have been fully expensed because we stopped the development stage of the software.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Ball or Mr. Wallace, did you have other questions?
Well, actually, on the income statement that I'm looking at, for the period January of 23 to September of 23, line 7 says depreciation amortization is zero.
Wait, for 23?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is part of our, if you look at the 22 review that we, or the compilation we had completed by the accounting firm, that was part of, like, we're not currently booking depreciation or like on a monthly basis in the books till year end, but that is a process that we're going to change with our internal reporting that came of that, of saying, okay, let's get that internal and start to adjust that. Cause we're currently, at least from the way you would be doing it from, you know, their perspective under GAAP was different than what we were doing. So we haven't made that change yet in 23 from a depreciation and amortization schedule standpoint, if that makes sense.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay.
My question is, do I read this right, that there's a $3 million other expense in the interim financial statements? Is that the software development?
So keep in mind, so for us, as we present the financials, you'll have your educational revenue and expenses. And then, you know, the school is a very small piece of our overall business. So the way that Arizona form is set up, that's where essentially the rest of the expenses of the business are going that aren't related to the school, which you know, yes, there is a lot of software development in that, but the other divisions of the business that aren't related to education are also in that number.
And do you anticipate that the schools are going to compensate the developer for that, or over time, or what's the program?
No. So the school is really in a silo from the software, because the business model is we have a very, very large presence in the home inspection industry. So, you know, what we're trying to do is provide as many ways to be a resource and make a home inspection company successful, which hiring and staffing is a big issue. And by us having the school and be able to educate home inspectors and, you know, provide that benefit, you know, it's another way that we, you know, can do that. But it's not related to the software, but it's all within the same corporation. So, you know, we track revenue and expenses by division separately, but when you look at the parent company in total, that's why there's such small numbers on the educational piece and then that big number for the non-educational related expenses.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So you're going to have the either audited or accountant reviewed financials soon for 22, right?
But 22, we're submitted to you guys, I believe, last week or the week before. Yes. So 22, that was completed. And there's, you know, footnote disclosure, everything that was requested there.
Mr. LaMountain, do we have that in our packet? You might be looking in the wrong spot.
I can answer that. Sorry. Yeah, they sent it after I sent the board stuff out, and so I added it to the review. So there should be at the bottom of the board report for the. Yeah, let me get there.
Okay, additional item 10.12.1.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, hold on. Here it is. Inspection go. Financial statements. Okay. All right. I think we are good. I don't know, Mr. Wallace, did you see the reviewed statements? I didn't see them.
No, I didn't.
Okay. Just literally quickly.
I didn't. Yes.
Okay. Well, as of 22, the school and company was in better shape than it is as of at least from a financial standpoint, you know, financial statement standpoint, than it was at the end of September because of the investment and the cash burn. And so I know that your total equity is a minus $5 million. And so you're saying that your new investor is going to kind of flip
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you if you refer to page note 9, it's page 13 of that accountant's report. They actually added a note in there about operations and liquidity. So in April, our company was actually valued at $35 million based on this Series A funding round. And that's what triggered the conversion of our convertible debt into equity, and then the major new investor that came in is who's continuing to fund, which obviously they get a little bit better deal going forward, but and they're committed to continue to fund it to profitability on their end. Wasatch Holdings is their name, but so. And I know, I apologize. We did get this over a little late, but it was a rush from the last meeting to this, to where We got that over, but in the, you know, the 23, you know, we'll start working with them right away in January. And then obviously these financials will be completed, you know, in a timely manner going forward with the accountant each year.
Okay. All right. I'm good. Hearing no other questions, I'm going to make a motion to approve the regular non-accredited vocational license and continue quarterly reporting. And get a second.
Second, this is Scott Wallace.
Okay, Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. With a vote of 3 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Okay, no. All right. You. See you guys. Have a good holiday.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Life work education. It was actually, I really liked Wizard, but that's not the purview of this committee.
We'll put in the name change request, and we'll move.
Okay,
it back.
Good. All right, yeah, update for us.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. So yeah, much of this financial quarter has been kind of going through the consolidation where we closed down the country club campus and consolidated over onto our other campus in Mesa, which was just about 4 miles down the road on Dobson. So that's, you know, kind of prioritized a lot of the time and attention and everything with just moving the staff over and getting the programs and equipment and everything consolidated. But we've continued to make good progress. We're looking forward to next year. Not, you know, part of the vocational side, but the other big one that got launched just recently on the continuing education side of our company was a big partnership with Disney to provide the CPR training to whoever in the Disney system they want to put through that training. So that's shaping out to be a really big partnership on the continuing ed side for us. But on the vocational side, they said predominantly it was the consolidation of the campuses in Mesa that we've been kind of coming out of boxes and getting everything set back up there at Dobson.
Okay. And where do you think you're going to land end of year? You had pretty substantial losses the last couple of years.
Yeah, we have brought on a new VP of marketing. That's been really kind of stepping in and helping with that. I think we're coming out of the weeds of a lot of kind of consolidation integration and, some of the new financial systems that, we put into place. We're launching the new student information system. So that was a lot of the kind of upfront investments that really contributed to the losses over the last couple of years. But that should continuing to dwindle down and, ultimately, I think we're in a good trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, is that your the VP that you're talking about?
That's the new marketing VP. Yes, I am terribly sorry. I'm on vacation this week, but I was.
That's fine. That makes it better.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have any puppies floating around also that you want
to? We do have three, but they're all sleeping right now. So.
Okay. Questions, Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball?
No questions from me.
I'm okay with where we stand right now.
Okay.
No questions.
Okay, good. I am too. All right, hearing that or none, I will motion to approve the regular non-accredited vocational license and continue regular requiring early financial reporting. Can I get a second?
I'll second it, Scott Wallace.
All right. Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. 3 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Great. All right. Be well. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you all, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Yeah, same to you. All right, Brookline College. So we've moved on the agenda to review, discussion, and action on financial status, quarterly reporting determination. And so from Brookline, we have a bunch of people who would like to make an opening statement.
Yeah, I'll take it. My name's Ollie Bull. I'm a CFO for Unitech. So first, I want to thank everyone for allowing me to speak. If you think about Unitech, we have Brookline, Utah, and California, which rolls up to Unitech. On a consolidated level, we expect to do $8.8 million in 2020-22, and we expect that number to exceed in 2023. From a cash perspective, on a consolidated level, we have $20 million on the balance sheet. And as you guys may be aware, a couple years ago, we acquired Brookline with the intent to bring it up to standards. So that included improving the test scores, improving the NCLEX exams, investing significant capital. We knew we were going to move to a brand new location in Albuquerque and invest in Phoenix. And then, as many of you are aware, there's a consent decree in September 16, 2022, which halted our BSN program in the Phoenix location. That has since been resumed. So that's great news for us. And then you'll also see that evident by the NCLEX and other exam scores that we have that started to improve. We made significant investments in Brookline over the past couple of years. If you think about the business, we've hired a number of student services. We've hired a number of NCLEX specialists. We are actually in Albuquerque. We're moving from the old legacy Brookline location, which by the way was by a gentleman's club. We moved over to a better facility that we paid for and a better, bigger location. We've certainly made significant upgrades in the businesses. We've actually invested over $1 million in capital expenditures in 23 and 24. That capital expenditures was for equipment, mainly for the students. And we've also made from the Oculus equipment all the way to the Laerdal mannequins, really to ensure that we can provide the appropriate education. Some other things that we've invested into by bringing in student services, we've actually increased the TEAS exams. We feel that's going to be beneficial because if a student is better qualified prior to entering the program, they have a higher graduation rate, which benefits the students. Now, we knew going into this, it would be a little bit of a long-term investment. As you look at the financial profitability, in 2023, we expect to lose $460,000. In 2024, we expect to lose $794,000. But by 25, we expect to be a profitability at $2.5 million. And the reason for that is a couple things. One, now that we've got the Phoenix BSN started, many of you are aware, we actually held all our instructors. So we didn't have any classes or any programs, but we wanted to show to this board and others that were committed to the program. So we actually didn't let one instructor go. So even though that program was on halt for over a year, we kept roughly $2 to $3 million of expense paying these instructors, knowing that it would be difficult to hire quality instructors later. Now that we've got this program resumed, revenue, as you can imagine, these BSN programs, the three-year program, it takes 1 to 2 years to start to ramp up. So in Phoenix, that's actually gonna go from a net loss to profitability in 2024. We've also moved into our new Albuquerque location, which I'm really excited about. It's in a much better facility, and I actually should have brought some pictures of the location. That's also going to enable us to grow in that location. And as you can imagine, you've got a certain amount of fixed costs, if you will, in a business. With having more students, that's going to enable us to leverage that bottom line as we get those incremental students. Tempe this year, we did actually have a flood that we covered and renovated the area. And then Tucson, we expect that to get some steady growth. The punchline here, what I would highlight is that we've done this in our California schools, which has turned out to be very profitable. We've made acquisitions. We've done this in our Utah schools. We've made a commitment and investment in Brookline. I think we're starting to hit the turn. We've got the financial projections where it will be profitable. It's going to take time. I'm going to continue to invest quite a bit of money into the program and quite a bit of money in the campuses because I believe in the program, I believe in our instructors. But as you look at the financials, it's kind of what we would expect that until we get these programs ramped up in BSN, which we've just got the approval, you're going to see a loss because of that fixed cost, those instructors that I've got on board that frankly are probably about 10% utilized, if you will. But we're bullish on the program. We're excited about it. We're excited about our new facility in Albuquerque. We're excited about the FIANX BSN ramp, and we're really excited actually about our NCLEX scores, which have shown substantial improvements in the Brookline location.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ball or Mr. Wallace, any questions?
I have no questions. This is Scott Wallace.
I have no questions. I'm impressed with the way they're going about things, and I'm looking forward to seeing this thing turn around.
Great. So what's your most recent composite score?
For Brookline, the composite score, Don, if you pull it up, I think that was below a 1.5, which it was below a 1.5.
Yes.
And a lot of that is driven by the fact of that losses in 22 and 23. As we start to get these programs turned around, you will see that profitability improve, thereby the composite score improving.
So is it between 1 and 1.5, or is it below 1.0?
I believe it was below 1. I believe it was, let me pull it up real quick.
I believe it was 0.7. I believe.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Okay. And so where does that leave you with the education department in terms of, like, are you on heightened cash management, or, like, where does that stand?
Yes. Yeah, so a couple things. If you look at our individual schools, California last year was above a 2.0. Utah was also above a 1.5, or I think it was 1.8. Brookline was a bit below. At the consolidated level, as many of you may be aware, when you've got goodwill on the books, the composite score is penalized quite substantially. So even though the individual colleges I expect to be all above a 1.5 or a 2.0, at the consolidated level, because we've got that goodwill, it keeps you at below that 1.5. So we're not on a heightened cash management. We do have lines of credit with the department. We've got roughly $18 million of lines of credits with the department. Letter of credit. Letter of credit with the department.
I was thinking, boy, line of credit.
but at the same time, if you think about the business, we produce a lot of cash. We've got $20 million on the balance sheet.
Okay.
We invest in the business. I would submit to you that the composite score is just takes into certain things at the consolidated level that penalizes if you've been a company that's been acquired before.
Okay. So, Mr. Ball, since you're the one impressed by Ali and his team's work, do you want to make a motion? I've been hogging all the motions.
Yeah, let me see if I can read this.
Well, and really the question is, they're not on quarterly financial reporting. So the question is, do we want them to be on financial reporting?
That's because they posted that letter of credit. You know, when that expires?
When it expires? It expires when the Department of Ed, you know, when their composite score is above 1.5 for 2 years in a row. So they're going to have that letter of credit sitting there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
If you want them to be on quarterly reporting, then you get to look at their financials and kind of hang out with them online for the next year or two.
I'm not a good guy to hang online with.
Well, so far you've been nice.
I'm totally kidding. You guys have been great. I especially like what you started off with, Paul. That I could go on a whole bunch of different components there, but education is important to me.
Okay. Mr. Wallace or Mr. Ball, what do you guys think? We could split the difference. We could do like a King Solomon thing where we ask staff to monitor over the next 6 months, and if the college makes significant progress and is making progress according to their plan, then, you know, then we don't put them on quarterly reporting, or we decide that we do. The staff is going to monitor them anyway. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So Dr. Mimmon, is that the motion that you would like to make, is to have staff?
I'm just asking. I was asking Mr. Ball what he wanted to do, and offering an alternative to, like, you know, we have no quarterly reporting, quarterly reporting, or, you know, staff monitoring, and we revisit in 6 months. That's the kick the can down the road.
I would offer that we not put them on quarterly reporting, have the staff monitor them, and maintain the bond as is.
Okay.
And we'll see them back here in 6 months or so.
Okay. Can we assume that that's your motion?
That is my motion.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, do you want a second, or you want me to second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All right. Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mimmon.
Aye.
Dr. Mimmon votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye.
Okay.
Three ayes. That motion passes. And for the institution, Jacqueline, Ms. Rome will be reaching out to you the way she has in the past, just to get some quarterly updates so that we can monitor, and then we will have you back before the finance committee sometime in the summer.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Be well.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. All right. Technology Testing, Inc. You guys want to make an opening statement?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if, thanks for having us. I wasn't sure if you're all aware of what we do. Started off in the 1980s as a kind of a crane safety consulting firm and crane inspections. In the mid 2010s, we applied for the vocational license, really to support, I would say, the military and their continued education for when they come back and want to pursue careers in the construction industry, specifically for crane operators. It's a very highly specialized industry, extremely difficult to, as you know, the trades are, you know, diminishing as, you know, the newer generations are coming along. We are, in order to, through the national certification of certified crane owners, crane operators, the instructors have to possess, you know, go through rigorous testing and have the credentials to get the your official crane operator license. Finding individuals that have that and that are, you know, competent instructors as well is, you know, been a challenge. And just wanted to see from your guys' perspective, you know, what, you know, we were invited here to speak on, you know, to our numbers and or concerns you might have. And just, this is the first time in front of you guys, I believe. So just wanted to thank you guys.
Yeah, no, and thanks for the, you shared a lot of that in some of the materials that you submitted about the history and, you know, the origins of the of Technology Testing, Inc. And for sure, nobody wants an incompetent crane operator. That would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the reason that you're here is your Arizona campus had losses 2 years in a row. As I'm looking your financial statements, I don't know why they were sort of written in landscape orientation, but they're presented on my screen in portrait, and so I'm turning my head here to see. But I think from a parent company standpoint, you guys are, let's see. So you lost $9 million in 22, plus $14 million in 21, plus $4.8 million in 2020, and 11.7. This is before taxes, so okay.
Yeah, no, my name's Dan McKinley. I'm the CFO. Actually, we've made money.
Yeah, here it is. After taxes.
Last year, you know, so M Holding Corporation, you know, we have various operating companies within M Holding. You know, we have approximately $100 million in consolidated revenue. Tech is a very small piece for us. Last year was $450,000. Our net income for last year, I believe off the top of my head, was around $16 million.
Yeah, so we have it at 13.8. Yeah, I see it after taxes. It was on the next page. Sorry.
We are a very, very profitable company. Unfortunately, the past 3 years, Tech Testing has not made money as a standalone business, but we also feel that it provides ancillary services to our other operating companies. So we may train the operators for the school, and that may lead to a large job for Marco Crane, which is very profitable for us. So that's kind of the financial position of Tech Testing. Is a very small piece to us. It is largely funded by the parent company. We do have, you know, aspirations of making it, you know, cash flow positive, but if we need to invest in it and lend money from M Holding, we're more than capable of doing that. I believe we had $35 million in cash at the end of our last year. So we are well positioned with capital to support the school and to keep it going and provide, as Danny mentioned, provide the service to operators that want to get trained.
Okay, great. Thanks for the additional insights. I think the reason that, you know, that schools come before the board, because there's 233 schools that are licensed by the agency, or by the board, is when schools post a loss, then there's, you know, potential, if a school is in potential, danger of closing, it can obviously have an adverse effect on students. But it also can have an adverse effect on the state, because if a school closes, then students get refunds. And if it's not Title IV, which I don't believe technology testing would be, then the state, you know, refunds the tuition for the students. So your gross tuition revenue in Arizona was a little over $437,000. And so, you know, really ultimately the question, you know, obviously the parent company is well funded and profitable. And, you know, the school is clearly related to the parent company. We have had parent companies, really large parent companies, and they just cut loose a school. And I can think of several off the top of my head, some massage schools, golf academy, you know, that were part of rather large corporations, you know, but they got cut loose, and exactly, you know, what I was talking about, you know, happened. Students didn't complete their programs and had to get refunds. And so I guess really the question is, you know, from a commitment standpoint, you said that that the company is committed, you know, to the school and to, you know, to turning it around, but you're in it for the long haul, you know? So I think that's really the question for us. The question is, are you in it for the long haul?
Yeah. And another thing is you know, it's not like when operators sign up for this training, it's not like a year long course, right? Where, you know, we could potentially close the school and they've committed thousands of dollars and then, you know, we'd be out there. Like how long is typically
It all depends too, if people have equipment operating, you know, backgrounds or not, and whether it falls under our continuing education versus you know, the any grant money or scholarship money that we'd be receiving. Typically, if, you know, if someone has not ran a crane ever, you know, they might be in a 2 to 4 week course to get them to go through their deal. And that's with heavy practice and stuff like that. So, I don't think that there's a long-term exposure per student, if that makes sense.
Right.
Okay.
And this, yeah, this, our president is committed to this school. It's been a dream of his to have this. And as Danny said, it's been around since the 80s. We've had a discussion with him, and he is fully committed to this school as it's beneficial to us and our operators that we currently employ, as he's committed to the trades, as we know from watching, as Danny mentioned, the trades going down is to one of the reasons we've hired Henry is a veteran, as is to try to help the veterans get into this school and give them a trade and a great quality of life as the crane operators have.
Okay. All right. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball, do you guys have questions?
I do not. This is Scott Wallace.
No questions for me, Doug Ball.
Okay. So I was thinking, based on the strong financials, that we do the same thing, you know, is to, you know, to have staff monitor, which, you know, if we did quarterly reporting, staff is going to get all of the materials anyway. And then revisit in 6 months.
Sounds good to me.
Mr. Wallace?
Sorry, I'm good.
Okay.
Pleased with that.
You have to be sorry for being good. okay. All right. Do we need a motion for that, Mr. LeMountain, or
if you're going to require them to come back in 6 months, then we should do a motion and a vote.
Okay. Yeah. So I'll move. Let's see. I even wrote it down. For staff monitor the financials for Technology Testing Inc. and have the school return in 6 months to review. Can I get a second?
This is Doug. I'll second.
Okay. Let's vote.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. 3 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, you guys. Be well. Have good holidays.
Yeah, thank you. Too.
Aspen University. Same time
next
couple of months.
Good morning. Yes.
Hi, President St. Arnold.
Good morning. Thank you for seeing us again in connection to our financial report for fiscal year 24, Q2. Joining me today again is Aspen's VP of Finance, Michael LaMontagne, and he can provide some additional color to the board regarding the details of the Q2 results. Also joining me today is Matt LaVey, the CFO for Aspen's parent company, Aspen Group. The board may have questions relating to the parent company, and Matt's available to answer them. Once again, we're very proud at how much progress Aspen has made while navigating the impact of our teach-out and of our pre-licensure program in Arizona and managing the HCM2 process. Aspen has posted another profitable net income quarter for fiscal year 24 Q2. I wanted to remind everyone that Aspen's fiscal year runs from May 1 to April 30. So we are reporting on our Q2 ending October 31st. And I really wanted to thank board staff for allowing us the additional time to close our quarter. Revenue in Q2 was $7.3 million and $15 million this year to date versus the prior year to date of $22.3 million. The student population ended on October 31st with 5,447 students while generating 793 new enrollments. Instructional costs were 31% of revenue
and the second quarter down from 33% in Q1 and will continue to reduce through the remaining portion of the pre-licensure teach-out. Aspen continued a modest marketing spend in the second quarter as we generated leads, mostly through referrals and our organic lead flow. Aspen also continued its tight control on general and administrative spend. G&A was $3.5 million versus $4.5 million in the prior year quarter. And net income for the second quarter was $359,000, and the operating margin in Q2 was 6%. EBITDA continues to remain strong at $1.1 million at a 15% EBITDA margin. Aspen really believes that our continued increased profit margins, right-sizing the university, and trending positive EBITDA continue to demonstrate our strong fiscal management and practices. Again, the university's composite score continues to be 2.8 out of the maximum of 3.0, and our 90-10 calculation has moved from 25.98% in Q1 to 16.42% in Q2. We believe that all of this indicates that Aspen has and continues to successfully build a financially stable foundation. And now Michael will add a little more detail to our fiscal year 24 Q2 results, and then both Michael and Matt are available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning, everybody, and happy holidays. Just to reiterate what Sherry said, we had a significant second quarter. As Sherry mentioned, Aspen, we converted 793 new start enrollments in the quarter with minimal marketing spend. The other aspect that I'm really proud of is we conferred 773 degrees in the second quarter. We're up to 1,419 degrees conferred year to date through October, while generating the $7.3 million in revenue for the quarter and $15 million year to date, resulting in a year-to-date net income of $1.4 million. I wanted to point out, too, the other aspect of it, as our revenue has declined year over year, our net income has increased. Our margin has gone from 4% up to 9% with all the changes we've made. Aspen University submitted and received its fourth successful HCM2 submission in the second quarter, and we will be submitting our fifth submission later next week. As Aspen looks towards a bright future, we've made some successful moves within the organization over the last year, including finalizing the pre-licensure teach-out. We had our show cause and reaccreditation site visits, and we've had four successful HCM2 reimbursements. And you all should have received a letter on November 10th that we sent to you requesting to reduce our current bond to $5.5 million. Wanted to go into a little bit of how we the calculation of what we're requesting. Before I make my final comment, the current bond of $5.5 million was based on a calculation of 1,564 active open status students in the state of Arizona last October 31st, 2022, of which 593 of those students were cash paying, the remaining 971 paying with federal financial aid. Those 593 cash paying students would have derived approximately $5.3 million of revenue should they have all matriculated successfully. So the bond amount that we have of $5.5 million is approximately 100% of the total cash paying students of revenue. As we sit here a year later, October 31st, 2023, this fiscal year, there are 351 students now in the active open status attending Aspen University in the state of Arizona. Out of the 351, in comparison to last year's calculation, only 175 of them are cash paying students now, which represent approximately $1.8 million in revenue should they matriculate successfully. So as a result and consequently, we are requesting on behalf of Aspen University to remove the bond of $5.5 million or adjust the bond to be recalculated within a range of 10 to 25% based on the reduced cash paying students in the state of Arizona, which would equate to the high end of $455,000. Thank you for the consideration. We appreciate all your help, and I'm open for questions.
Okay, great. Thanks. So a couple of questions. Do you have any updates on recent NCLEX results?
Sherry.
Well, I'm hesitant to.
Dr. St. Arnold, you said that Matt and Michael would be available for questions.
Well, I think I should probably take the NCLEX question. Okay. I'm hesitant to speak to the fourth quarter because they're not out until the end of December. The others are public, but what I can tell you is that as of November 30th, a week ago, 71 out of 78 students passed first time.
Okay. And do you have another, did we already get the update for the last, you know, publicly reported one? Because I know that the other one changes, and I don't want to jinx your, NCLEX scores by talking about it too soon.
Yes, we went to second quarter 78. We went down to 67% in the third quarter. We had several students from long ago, but cohort by cohort, they've been increasing steadily. And some of the older students, you know, will affect your cohort scores. So.
And then I guess also for you, President St. Arnold, any updates from the accrediting body? Like, I know that you've had back and forth with the show cause hearing. And where is that? What's the status of that?
On October 19, we had 13 people come out, and including Mr. LaMountain, and look at all aspects of our accreditation and how we met the standards, all of them. And we are waiting a chair's report. We have not received it yet. I did hear something from DEAC that they thought it would come around December 29th.
Okay.
Somewhere between now and December 29th.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ball, Mr. Wallace?
I have no questions.
I like the progress, and I don't have any questions, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll make a motion to continue reporting and to reduce the bond to $2.5 million. And the rationale behind that is, you know, like Mr. Wallace just said, you know, the progress that you've reported on, you know, is very heartening. And at the same time, you know, the institution is still at significant risk based on the HCM2, the show cause, and, you know, the stipulated agreements. And so, you know, this is an opportunity to give you a little bit of relief, but we also want to make sure that we are being conservative in protecting both students and also the state. So with that, can I get, so that's a long motion, so I'll just say to continue quarterly reporting and reduce the bond to $2.5 million. Can I get a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. With a vote of three ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Best wishes for nice holidays, you guys. Okay. Next up, Advanced Business Learning Incorporated.
Hello.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad.
Okay. Do you care to make an opening statement? So I think we've moved on to the next part of the agenda. This part of the agenda is, I think, just the, let's see, yes, is review of quarterly reports. So care to kick us off, Mr. Jenkins?
Yes. First of all, I'll say I'm here alone today because Susan had a prior commitment that she just couldn't get out of, and she had submitted all the financials and reports that have all been into Jacqueline. And so we would like to pick up where we left off at the last meeting with an update on the progress we're making with business development. We have an arrangement with a nonprofit that's focused on Native American tribes that has resulted in very favorable work with the Navajo Nation, and that in turn has brought us in front of General Motors as part of a cohort development where now the Navajo Nation and four other tribes have come together, total of five tribes, and those tribes will be supporting cohorts per quarter of 25 each per cohort, and that's five members per tribe. And the leadership of the tribes have said that they will do the heavy lifting around recruiting, advertising, and screening their tribal members. General Motors has said that they will participate in that because they want to hire some of the graduates that are coming out on the other end of it. And so we're looking at, this is supposed to start in March or April, a ongoing cohort development of five members per tribe, 25 members per cohort. They'll be supported out of tribal WIOA funds. Whatever extra funds are required, General Motors has stepped to the table and said they will put money on as well. And a result of the pilot we did last year, or this year, earlier in the year, with the Navajo Nation, General Motors has now said that they recognize advanced business learning as a preferred training provider for General Motors. And there's now new opportunity coming around the bend for that as well. We're looking for great things for that, obviously. The other we had mentioned was that our...
Can I ask you, Mr. Jenkins, just based on your income for the year, this would be considered tuition income, or and so currently, like, your total income is just under $400,000, and what do you expect, you know, this program to add from a revenue standpoint?
From a revenue standpoint, if we're staying focused on, well, there's two areas of this. One is if we're staying focused on the tribal nations themselves, that's WIOA money, so that's $4,000 per student times 25 students per cohort times four cohorts a year. So if you do the math real quickly, that's a couple hundred thousand dollars coming in from that. General Motors has stepped up and said they are going to start putting General Motors personnel through the training as well. They are not looking at the WIOA funding, so they would be at the $6,000 to $8,000 per student. They have not committed to a number of students yet. They're still discussing that. So, you know, if you pick a number and say, we're looking at approximately anywhere in $350,000 to $450,000 of new revenue coming in from that effort alone.
Okay.
All right.
And what programs will you be offering to, you know?
These are cybersecurity certification programs. So these are the CompTIA programs, the EC Council, the ISACA, ISC Squared programs. We'd be focused, to be specific to your question, sir, we'd be focused with the tribal nations on the CompTIA A Plus and Network Plus as a front start.
Okay.
All right. The other advantage of having General Motors come to the table is that they want the same cybersecurity effort, but with more certifications offered. They also would like some Microsoft training and Azure training brought in as well. We're certainly capable of providing that. And again, those would be at the $6,000 per student level. We're waiting for General Motors to say how many people per quarter they think they want to put through. They've given us some leading indicators, but I'd be hesitant to quote what they quoted me because the proof's in the pudding.
Okay.
All right. The other effort we had presented during our last meeting was to get away from passive marketing where we're dealing with Army Ignited, VAVR, Veterans Administration Vocational Rehab, and with the WIOA, not getting away from, but less emphasis on it and much more public facing as other schools do through digital marketing, et cetera. So we have made that investment. We brought on a digital marketing firm. And so we have a landing page that was just designed. We have a lot of marketing effort that took place. We have digital buys, AdWord buys that we're doing. And we faced what we found out reluctantly that other schools face, and it's called spam bots. So we spent 2 months dealing with a huge volume of leads coming in, which made us very happy on one hand, but then finding out that all the data was fictitious and erroneous and misleading. And so a lot of effort went into following up on those and then finding out they're all bogus. And that's just a real threat out there to all schools. All schools face it. And we talked to a number of our trade schools here and colleges and universities, and they all said, welcome to the club. Here's how you deal with it. And we did. And so those are starting to clean up substantially. So we are getting more and more lead generation that then we need to convert as well. And that's going to back into our redesign of the website and make everything much more public facing and much more student friendly, but much more proactive. But that's, these are seeds that are being planted. The expectation coming out of this, we're being told by the marketing company, are anywhere from 3 to 4 months of lead generation and then conversion into student enrollments.
Okay. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball, other questions?
No questions for me.
No, thank you for your presentation. I have no further questions.
Okay. And Mr. LaMountain, do you have a comment or a question?
Sure. Yeah, just a comment. Dr. Mittman, I'd like to commend Mr. Jenkins and for actually reaching out to us ahead of time as they were going through this decision-making process of how to market and how to partner with other people. So, Tom, I appreciate you reaching out and kind of getting at least our input up front. So thank you for that.
Well, and thank you for the information that came back from that, because we are actively following up with that as well. So thank you. Thank you guys for being good support measures for us.
Great. So sort of like a nice in the Tom column and a nice for the staff also. So in the naughty and nice measuring. All right. Well, thank you very much, Tom. Best wishes for nice holidays. Be well. We'll see you in a few months.
Thank you all very much. Enjoy the holidays coming up.
You bet. All right. Next up, American Home Inspectors Training Institute.
Hello.
Ms. Illingworth, are you going to make an opening statement?
I will. I'll make the opening statement for our school. I'm Jamie Illingworth. I'm compliance analyst with AHITS. American Home Inspectors Training is a home inspection education provider who's been offering online education around the nation since 1993. AHIT was acquired by the CE Shop LLC at the beginning of 2022, and the CE Shop is well known for offering online education across multiple industries, including real estate, appraisal, mortgage, and home inspection with AHIT. With me are Damon Nolan, accounting manager, and Nicole Andler, director of compliance, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have about our quarterly reports.
Okay. Any questions from Mr. Ball or Mr. Wallace?
No questions from me.
Mr. Wallace?
Sorry, it takes me a little bit of time to navigate through this. Your year-to-date results, can you comment on those, please? I mean, there's a positive EBITDA, but negative earnings. Am I looking at the right thing, first of all? And anyway, can you expand upon that?
Which year today? Because there's a few different ones that we provided. So there's the AHIT specific, there's career certified, and then there's also CE Shop.
I'm looking at career certified. Is that the right one, or should we be looking at something different?
That's kind of the parent entity itself. And really kind of what you're seeing there is we have two other entities that we kind of work with as well that are outside of the real estate world. Okay. And itself, we acquired them at the end of 2022 in November and December, respectively. And a lot of kind of our losses on that has been a lot of integration expenses that we've been to just kind of pull them into kind of our whole system as itself. But if you look at kind of like the real estate, so CE shop and kind of what all A hit and things of that nature, that's going to be a lot more of a positive view.
Okay. I'm just pulling up your 22 financial statements here. So I just want to see, did you bring in any equity financing in 23 or equity?
We are private equity backed, so there was contributions made whenever we did that. We also took on debt with those acquisitions as well.
Okay. Okay, you got lots of equity. That's what I wanted to know. I answered my own question, and you helped me, so thank you. And I have no further questions.
Okay. So for AHIT, now that I know how to like say the lingo, Ms. Ellingworth. So for AHIT, it looks like year to date in 2023, you've got a small, net income, $6,663. I was looking at the previous year, it looked much higher, $92,000. Am I reading that correct?
So there's some kind of scaling back that we've done for like our actual live courses. So that's going to play into a factor of it. Where we used to do a lot more kind of like live and courses and all that. With the CE shop, we have a bunch of online courses as well. So it's more so instead of everything going to the live classes and what you were seeing last year, it's kind of going in through a different process this year.
Okay.
And so, that's not necessarily AHIT specific, as our online kind of courses.
Okay. So when you consolidate all of those,
yep,
in a good place. Okay. All right. I don't have any other questions. And so I wish you guys a happy holiday. Be well.
Thank you very much.
Happy holidays.
Thanks. All right. AAI.
Hello. Happy December. I think I'm a familiar face to most of you, but as a quick refresher, I'm Lauren Morocco, Executive Director at Arizona Automotive Institute. Joining me on the call today is Joe Feiler from our finance team and Amber Powell from our compliance team. Before I get into the financial outlook for the campus, I just want to take a quick minute and wish you all a very happy holiday season. I was reminded recently how important it is to slow down, taking this time and use it as both a period to look back on the last year and also look ahead with excitement for all that's coming. So 2023 was a great year for AAI, and I wanted to share a couple of the main highlights with you. One around our student population, which at the end of October, which is the time period of our last locked financing, plus 56 to budget and plus 89 to prior year. And just as a quick note, our population has stayed above the targets each month of 2023. Financials at the end of October are plus 91,000 to budget and plus 238,000 to prior year, with 2 months of financial reporting still left in 2023. Our EBITDA actuals at the end of October were 1.3 million. For some context, our EBITDA actuals at the end of December 2022 were 1.2 million. So I can sit here with full confidence and let you know that we're going to be more profitable than we were the entire last year, as we have already achieved that milestone. And we are forecasting to be around 1.6 million by the end of this year. So when looking ahead, we feel the stability that we found and our core program offerings will continue to either trend flat or improve year over year. So now we're taking that as a point to look for ways to layer and diversify our revenue. So to that end, we've recently added a CDL Class A program as a shorter 4-week training option into our portfolio, and we expect that to be a 2024 player in our revenue line. We're currently in the budgeting process for 2024, and although we are still in the draft versions, we are anticipating our EBITDA for 2024 to be at or exceed 2023 actuals. I'm personally very proud of the fact that our population trend was not only on the new start interest, but also what I call growing by holding. So So my leadership team and I have been focused a lot of effort in ensuring the communication and alignment between our admissions and academic teams and breaking down any silos that may have existed. We win as a campus community, and that culture of student focus is at the forefront of why I can feel I can sit here and say our drop rate year to date is sitting at 3.57%. And last but certainly far from least, we just had our 5-year ACCSC renewal team visit and had very positive response from the visiting team. They spoke about the strength of the leadership and corporate teams that we have here. They recognized our faculty and staff qualifications and files and stated the culture of the campus was one of student support. I believe you're going to get a copy and we'll see the full team summary report as soon as it's available. But the one area I am most proud of goes to my previous point, with 96% of our students surveyed saying they felt good about their decision to attend AAI. In summary, we hope you feel we have shown year after year positive financials and a consistency and confidence that these measures will continue. And we do ask that you consider us for elimination of surety bond and financial reporting at the close of 2023. Thank you for your time, and let us know if you have any questions.
Dr. Mittman, you're on mute.
That's good. Whatever I just said wasn't really worth hearing anyway.
I doubt that.
Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball, do you guys have any?
That was a great line. That was just a great line, Ball. But anyway, I have no questions.
No questions for me.
Yeah. So Ms. Morocco, you're the executive director of the Arizona.
Yes, and I believe you met Dalen Childress. He's our VP of operations, and he spoke with you guys last time I was out of town at a wedding out of state. And he oversees the Ancora Education School.
Yeah, so you guys are profitable. Ancora looks like is gonna lose a little bit of money this year. Okay. Is that right? Projecting like a $2.5 million loss.
Dylan, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, no. From a net income standpoint or EBITDA standpoint, Mr. Mittman?
Yeah, I'm looking at either one. Take your pick. So I'm looking at EBITDA.
I think EBITDA will be positive, and we're going to be competitive down the stretch as it relates to net income.
Okay.
As we closed out October was an all-time high for us with $1.4 million of net income, coming off of a quarter of 1.2 in the prior 3 months. And, are down the stretch competing for positive net income at this point. But I do anticipate positive EBITDA and net income to be competitive with it.
Okay. I guess I was just going to comment that the Arizona campus and whoever is leading it is like really contributing significantly. And so we're going to add like a couple of nice marks in the AAI column.
So nice of you to say. We're really a team here, but I appreciate the confidence. I feel like, 2 years of this, I appreciate the confidence you have in the team here. We have a great solid foundation, but I appreciate the call out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Well, duly noted with your request coming up in quarter one of next year. And best wishes, happy holidays, be well. Let's have some peace. All right.
Yeah.
See you guys.
Appreciate Thanks, it. Guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Doke. Next up, AZ Christian University.
Hello.
Hello. Good.
How are you? I'm James Tito, Chief Operating Officer at Arizona Christian University. And also on the call is Michael Werner. I don't see his little box up here. He is the Vice President of Finance. There he is, at Arizona Christian. So I will be giving you a brief overview, and Michael will be answering any specific financial questions. So as I mentioned on the last call, our enrollment was really strong for this fall. We beat our undergraduate enrollment by around 70 students and our on-campus by about 90 students. We launched a Master's of Education program and a Master's of Marriage and Family Therapy program, which we brought in another, I think, 25, 30 students on. Plus, we're introducing another master's program this spring, a master's in Christian leadership. We also have just completed a partnership with Arizona State University, and Arizona State and Arizona Christian are going to partner to offer additional degree programs on the online front. So where Arizona Christian does not have specific classes to complete a degree program, Arizona State is going to fill that in. So there's other areas that we're partnering with them also, and it's a really good partnership for us too.
So let me understand that, Mr. Tito. So the degree will come from Arizona Christian,
yes,
right? But a certain number of courses, you know, towards that major or towards that degree will be taught by at ASU.
Yeah, ASU, and it will be online. So ASU, on any particular degree program, they can do up to 30 credits with this type of a partnership.
Okay, so a quarter of an undergraduate degree.
Right.
Okay.
So the first one we're starting with, and it's going to be for all of the online programs only. And it's going to be the first program is going to be pre-med biology.
Okay.
So which is really good. Also, we have for this fiscal year, we have a balanced budget, and we're on track right now with our budget, which Michael Werner can talk to a little bit more if you guys want. But we're actually ahead of our budget, and we're looking at. Before income tax, well, we don't pay income tax before depreciation and whatever, we're actually going to be in a positive P&L and positive cash flow position come the end of the fiscal year. We're also, as of September 30th, we had about $4.8 million in cash in the bank. As of the end of the year, we'll have about $2.4 million in cash. And, you know, we're still working forward on our bond issue, and we've sold a portion of the taxable bonds right now. On the non-taxable side, there's commitments there as well. So it's a little bit different, you know, on each side, which investors get in. We've been approved by the Maricopa County Industrial Authority to do the bond, and we're hoping to have that done by the end of the first quarter of next year. In regards to our misses, we missed our, for fiscal year 23, we missed our debt service coverage ratio, and we received a for the bonds, and we received a waiver, a signed waiver from Silvercrest in regards to that a debt service coverage ratio miss, and Silvercrest is the majority bondholder for, and so they basically represent all of the bondholders. So yeah, so we're doing really well.
What's the interest rate on the new bond?
Well, the new bond hasn't been put out to pricing yet, so we're hoping it's going to be, depending on where the economy is at the same at the time, it'll be somewhere between 6.5 and 8%.
And what do you have right now?
Right now, it's around 7%.
Okay. And do you still have the? You had some very high interest.
Yeah, lending, which was a short-term note. So part of the purpose of the bond is to take out the BE lending. So they're still there.
How much is the note for BE lending?
$8.8 million.
And that was what, 12%?
12%.
Okay. And what are the university's costs for the you know, the bond, the whole bond package?
Well, we're looking to do a bond of about $18.5 million. ACU will net out about $14.5 million of that. About $2.5 million to $3 million of that goes into cash reserve funds. That's actually our money. but it has to be put in a reserve fund. So the cost of the bond, the actual cost with legal fees and the whole shebang, should be about $600,000.
Okay. And then you're going to, of the $18 million, you said $4 million is going to be in cash reserves?
Yeah, about three and a half of that, and the rest will be for expenses.
And that also rolls in all of the campus debt on top of that, or no?
Yeah, basically, we take out the, with the new bond, we take out the $8.8 million of BE lending, so we pay that off. And so there's actually only an additional $10 million, $9 point something million in debt.
Okay. It's kind of weird because, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, so you're going to have $4 million in cash reserves from the bond, but you're going to pay 7% interest on the $4 million for your cash. Are you going to be able to earn enough?
Yeah, we usually make about 5 or 6% interest on that money. Michael, how much are we making right now on that money? 5%?
Yeah, I think the last we put the, so the current bond has a reserve fund of about $1.9 million, and that was just invested into a commercial papers that I think was getting a little over 5.
So you're still going to be paying more out than you're going to be earning.
Yeah, so we're in the hole for about 2% on the reserve fund. It's part of, to do these municipal bonds and these different bonds, there's a certain amount of money that has to go into a reserve fund.
Yeah, so, I've done it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, but.
And then what about, what was your composite score when you finished the year?
The composite score for fiscal year 23 was under 1. I think it was like 0.7 or 0.8. So we're going to miss the composite score. The composite score for this new fiscal year, our DSCRs is, we're way above what our regulations are going to be, DCOH and the composite score. Michael's been figuring out what the exact forecast of the composite score is going to be. He doesn't have that exact number, but it's going to be positive. So we're missing it for 23. So in April, from what I understand, the Department of Ed is about a year, year and a half behind on the composite score issues. So by the time they catch up with us, we should be in a really good position.
Okay. My understanding is that if you're below 1, you're at least going to be on HCM 1, if not 2. And you need 2 years of audited financials to get out of that. So do you have that accounted for in your budget? Because it'll hit this fiscal year.
Accounted the heightened cash management in our budget?
Yeah.
We haven't put together.
It's gonna affect your cash flow.
We haven't. Let me make sure that I'm looking at this right.
That's right. We'll get to that next spring. The financial statements that you shared with us for quarter one show a $2 million loss for the quarter. Am I reading the right thing?
Yes. And actually our budget had us at a $3.1 million loss for the first quarter, just because of the seasonality of
So in other words,
you recognize the revenue.
Okay, so that was your summer quarter. And so do you have, like, from a tuition revenue standpoint, you have that for the second quarter?
So we've recognized about 2 months of 5 months worth of revenue, and a lot of our expenses were kind of front loaded for this particular year. So we are on track. We are very much ahead of our balanced budget. So everything actually is moving quite nicely, even though you do see it.
Okay. Yeah, the way we recognize revenue is we don't recognize it all at once. We have to break it down over 5 months. So essentially what he did is the first quarter only has 2 months of 5 months worth of revenue in it.
Okay. So even though the tuition. Okay. Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball.
No questions from me.
Yeah, no questions for me.
All right. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
And thank you.
Since you're Arizona Christian University, I'll just make the assumption and say have a Merry Christmas. And best wishes for good holiday season.
Thank you.
Have a great holiday. Bye.
Thanks. All right. Huntington University.
Hello. This is Connie Bonner, Vice President for Finance. I also have Jeff Berggren joining me today, and he's the Executive Director of Graduate and Online Programs and was the director there in Arizona just a few months ago. So he's moved over to the Huntington campus, but is joining me today in case there's some.
And you're in Indiana?
We are in Indiana, Huntington, Indiana, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You went the wrong way for this time of year, but okay.
I have a few notes just to share with you, if that's okay. Great.
Yeah, no problem.
So we're looking forward to focusing on our spring semester, obviously, right now, the 2024 and the enrollment. For Arizona's looking good. We are running ahead on applications, deposits, and registered students, and we're excited about that. Spring 2024 is also going to see our fourth cohort of our new occupational therapy program and for the traditional program. And we're also well into launching our new delivery model for OTD through our OTA PTA, which is occupational therapy assistant and physical therapy assistant to OTD bridge program. That's a mouthful. We did talk to you about that last quarter, that we had been approved for that program. We started developing partnerships with the three largest providers of the OTA students in the state of Arizona. One of those providers has eight regional locations, all of which are close enough for our graduates to participate in this on-site components of the Bridge program. The program itself is online, but also has an on-site site component where they will come to the Peoria location several times a year for weekend education there. And so we've had a flurry of interest from the alumni of one of these providers who's reached out. We anticipate the first cohort of Bridge students to enroll for spring 24. And at this time, we have one committed student and seven applications that we're reviewing, and they just keep coming in. So we're very excited about that. This January, our board will be hosted in Arizona. And just to show that we have that commitment from our board of trustees to this location. And the other thing is our board is always very willing to come to Arizona in January. We don't know why, but they enjoy that. So we do appreciate that they're coming and we'll be able to be a part of our campus there and see what's happening there. This fall, we had 78 dual enrollment students in Arizona from the Awafria High School District, which was a new program we started with them. And we are looking forward to expanding that and having more students for the spring semester that are dual enrollment. And we're putting in processes so that we can report on future matriculation of those dual enrollment students as traditional undergraduate students at HUAZ. Obviously, this program is in place so that we can increase our enrollment through that process. So the energy and momentum of our HUAZ team is encouraging and promising, and we look forward to continuing to report positive progress next quarter.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Ms. Bonner.
Mm-hmm.
Questions? Mr. Wallace, Mr. Ball.
No questions for me.
No questions for me. Thank you for your presentation.
You're welcome.
It's unanimous. No questions.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Happy holidays.
Same to you. You could say Merry Christmas to us, too.
say Merry Christmas. And today's the first night of Hanukkah, so I'll say Happy Hanukkah.
There you go.
Kwanzaa's coming up. And for everybody, you know, good health and some happiness and some peace. With that, I think we are at the end of our agenda. And again, congratulations to our State of Arizona Board of Private Post-Secondary Education. You know, and not only were they like in front of the legislature just yesterday afternoon, but they must have spent the entire night out carousing. Is this being recorded? I shouldn't say that. No, but they're here first thing the next day, you know, ready for more. So thank you to everybody who works with you, Mr. Lamont. I don't know if Keith is on. I see Jacqueline, but thank you for all that you guys do. And have a good rest of the day, and see you guys next year.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.